Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Each One Reach One show, hosted by the Vox System. Today we are happy to be joined by Mr. Aaron Brown. Mr. Brown was the first student ever in the history of FAMU College of Law to clerk with the Florida Supreme Court. Mr. Brown has a host of accomplishments behind his name, and we are proud to sit down with him today. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Brown. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, not a problem. And I want to just start out by asking you about your experiences at the Florida Supreme Court and being the first student from FAMU chosen to clerk there. How was that experience?
Well, I mean, it was definitely one that I wouldn't have never passed up. I mean, I think before I even explain the experience there, I'd actually like to start by explaining how I even got that opportunity. Really interested in clerking. You know, I thought that would have been an excellent experience for a law student at that time. I reached out to, the only way I knew how. I called directly to the office administrator and the human resources person at the Florida Supreme Court, and they literally on the first few minutes told me that I was not eligible as a FAMU student to clerk at the Florida Supreme Court as a student, and they told me that I shouldn't waste my time. In essence, in less than a two-minute conversation, that's what they shared with me. So I found it upon myself to not take that lightly, and I asked her. I called back multiple times that week, and I said, if you can't help me, can you at least provide me the numbers to all the judicial assistants for the actual judges or the justices at the Florida Supreme Court? And that's what they did, and I took it upon myself to send them letters, to send them cover letters, to send them writing samples, resumes, and I followed up probably once a week for about a month. And then Justice James E.C. Perry, who was at that time the newest addition on the bench, gave me a call, wanted to meet with me, and there you have it. I had the internship for the summer.
Wow, that's just quite impressive, and it seems like you've laid a foundation for those that are coming behind you at the at your law school. Now, in law school, you also served as the SBA Student Bar Association president in a host of different roles. What kind of inspired you to take upon different roles while in law school?
Yeah, well, it was just the feeling and the motivation to not sit idly by during law school. I knew that going to FAMU and just going to a school that wasn't a Harvard or a Yale or a Tier 1 law school, I knew that it was incumbent upon myself to be involved in the community, not just to propel my career, but to, fulfill something within myself. My mother is a philanthropist. I find myself to one day be fulfill that role as well, and I just wanted to get involved, and I knew that running for a position such as SBA president, getting involved in the community was something that was kind of embedded in me, and I just needed to further develop that, and, luckily I was supported by the entire student body and, was successful in that endeavor.
I see. Well, you did an amazing job there as a testament to your awards and your recognition while in school, but that hasn't stopped, and right. Currently, you're in Jacksonville, and the city of Jacksonville has recognized you as one of the people on the move in 2011, which is a big accomplishment as well. And what do you hope to see and bring as a young African professional in Jacksonville to the city while you're there?
Well, yeah, that's an excellent point. And, diversity. I think that the city of Jacksonville is a melting pot, but yet those that help breed that melting pot are not given any light or whatnot, and I was honored to be recognized as one of the Jacksonville people moving on the rise in Jacksonville, and notably, I was probably one of three minorities that were even listed on that printout. So, once again, we have a long way to go. My mission, my goal, my desires to, you know, put minorities on the map and just let them know that, you know, we're here, you know, and that, you know, we're bright minds and we're interested in, you know, propelling our careers. We're interested in making a name for ourselves and, you know, helping our community at the same time. And that's something I stand for.
Right. Correct. Correct. So what are some of the community initiatives that you are currently undertaking kind of in Jacksonville, you know, to give back to the community?
Absolutely. As soon as I got back, that was one of the things that a lot of people that I left from Orlando and a lot of people that knew me growing up said, hey, man, when you get back to Jacksonville, you got to, you know, you got to reach out. You know, you can't. We know you. We know that's what you're going to do. But don't wait until you're, you know, further in your career. Reach out immediately. And, I mean, I took those words of advice and I took that those words of as encouragement. And I said, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. So immediately upon arriving, I got in contact with a local pastor here. And, you know, he had wanted to start some ministry development in the community. And I told him I would help him assist him with, you know, as far as the legal paperwork and stuff like that to get himself incorporated and get the ball rolling. But also what I wanted him to let me do was let me speak, you know, let me give me the venue to speak to the community, give me the venue to offer them assistance and from a friendly hand. So what we did is he developed a Fresh Word Ministries, which we put on about once or twice a month. And what we do is, you know, he invites physicians, nurses, and we have a panel of people who get up there, and we present for about a half an hour just on random or certain topics in your, you know, professional area. And then afterwards, what I'll do is I'll sit down and I'll stay there for 2 hours, and I'll sit there and I'll literally field questions and take numbers and just offer as much service as they'll allow me to give to the community. And we do this off Edgewood in Jacksonville, which is a primarily minority area. And it's really good. It's really fulfilling. And, you know, the people have come out in numbers.
Oh, that's amazing. You're continuing the tradition, which was instilled in you early on. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting your mother, a wonderful lady, and you always cite her as being, you know, kind of your strength and source. And so I wanted to share how important really was your mother in shaping you to become the man that you are today.
Oh, man, I 100% would have to be devoted to her as far as how she inspired me to be who I am. Just at an early age, just knowing that and instilling in me that everything is possible, you know, don't let anybody tell you that it's not possible. You know, if you start something, finish something, just little morals and little values like that I was instilled at that early age. And just knowing that, you know, there's someone behind you 110%, you know, regardless of if you fail, regardless if you fall. And that's just the motivation you need as a child, as a young man, as a young adult. And that's what my mother gave to me. It was really, really good to see that she was supportive in all of my endeavors, not just orally, but just being there present, being there when I got sworn in as SBA president, being at my law review induction, being at my swearing-in ceremony as I entered the Florida bar, having somebody there by your side throughout the process and seeing you grow and mature as a man. It just kind of gives you that hand in the back to let you know, look, I'm behind you. Any endeavor that you say you're going to do, step out there and do it, and I have your back. And that's just something that I feel a lot of parents, I don't want to say lack, but I feel as if they don't take it upon themselves to put that hand on the lower back and let their child know that they can do it and that they have their back. And I was blessed to have that in my life.
Right. She did an amazing job with you and the rest of your siblings as well. And I think you said, hit on a very good point that it's important to have that, you know, somebody being there in your corner at all times.
Absolutely.
So that's a testament to, and you spoke upon a couple of things as law review and different things. Now, what is the importance, I guess, of you know, having or doing law review while in law school? How did that add to your experience and your kind of development?
Yeah, another excellent point. And it actually helped immensely. I think that while in law school, they don't stress the importance of a great legal writing background. I think as a practitioner now, I see more now than ever that writing is fundamental and something that you're going to need to further your career. And actually with Law Review, I got an opportunity to draft student notes. I got an opportunity to site check and things that I've actually used as a practitioner. And I think that it was very important and fundamental for me to have that opportunity. And I was grateful that my grade point average alongside my extracurricular involvements allowed me to, you know, have that opportunity to be accepted into that to that illustrious organization to, you know, learn those fundamentals and propel myself. Because in law school, ironically, you only take maybe, to your choice, maybe 1 to 2 writing courses. So, you know, it's really on you whether or not, you know, some people come with an English degree. I myself came with a legal studies, political science degree. So I had a little bit of a background as far as legal writing, but not enough as much as I would have liked, given what I know now as far as how much writing is involved on that level. But I was blessed to have the opportunity to not only do law review, but also to clerk for a county court judge, to clerk for a Florida Supreme Court justice, to work at various law firms that allow me to write, to draft, and to better perfect my craft. And I think that as a law student, I think it's incumbent upon yourself to know that. And I think that not even as a law student, but as a student in general, you know, writing is essential. You know, knowing the fundamentals, knowing how to effectively get your point across on paper is key.
Right, absolutely. Now, how would you, or what kind of recommendation would you have for, you know, any young people that are considering law school, especially, you know, African-American males, as far as what challenges they may face in the process?
Oh, absolutely. I've been honored to actually have this conversation with plenty of people who have thought about, who have actually pursued law school, and you know, they—I don't know why—they tend to lean to me and think that I'm the man of understanding. So they come to me, and I tell them, you know, this is something that, you know, it needs to be a thought out process, because I tell you, I have friends who didn't think it out and actually went into law school and, you know, and failed out. So it's something that shouldn't be taken lightly. I mean, you and I both know as you know, former law students, that this is something that you need to be in wholeheartedly. You know, you have to say, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to finish, and this is what I want to do. So, you know, a lot of people come in and say, hey, I'm just going to go to law school. And, you know, some people do that, and some people are successful. But others who are not in it completely lack the desire, lack the drive that's required to be a successful law student. So I tell them, you know, give it some thought and be mindful of the debt that you might accrue and the fact that, you know, there's going to be some sleepless nights and, you know, it's hard work. I mean, anybody who goes through law school and says it's not hard work, I like to shake their hand, you know.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of, I guess, soul searching that happens during your first year.
Absolutely.
For students, and I don't know if African Americans face any tougher time than the rest of the student body in law school. I think law school for everybody, but there might be different pressures from outside and different influences. So that's something I guess to keep in mind. Now, in school, you were a student member of the George W. Young Inns of Court, which sounds like it's some, you know, secret group there. Can you explain what the ends of court were, and what was your participation with that?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually a student member of the George C. Young Ends of Court, and I thought it was a secret society as well. As I was clerking for County Court Judge Faye Allen, she saw my involvement. She saw my involvement in the community. She saw that I kept asking her for any extracurricular activities that she was doing that I can be involved in on the legal arena. And, you know, she took it upon herself to sponsor me, the first time she'd ever done it, sponsor me to be a member with her in the George C. Young Inns of Court. And what that Inns of Court is a legal organization filled with practitioners, judges, and other legal professionals, and they meet and they host CLEs. It's similar to a bar organization, but it's more selective. In order to become a member, you have to be sponsored by another member, and then they have to bring it to a vote. So it's a very selective organization. It's a very illustrious organization, and I was blessed to be a part of it. I had an ample opportunity to meet and sit with and actually put on CLEs with other professionals, other judges, county, circuit, civil, and it was just an awesome opportunity, and I made tons of connections, and it was something that, you know, I think that as a law student, you only dream about, you know, being invited into the mix where the actual practitioners are, where they sit down and where you can have a casual conversation with them and take in what they have to offer. And, you know, I take it once again as a plug for other law students, you know, take the initiative. If you're clerking for a judge or if you know somebody, ask them, hey, you know, are you involved in any organizations, bar organizations? Do you mind if I attend with you? Have them introduce you to people. Those are the connects that you need to get that job, to get that interview, to get that internship. So, you know, once again, it's just another opportunity, another avenue for you to put yourself out there to receive those opportunities.
Right, right, absolutely. Now, how much would you say that post-law school is a reflection on maybe who you know versus what you know in your experience?
Well, you know, earlier on I'd say it had to be more on, you know, who you know, but now as it's really coming down to what you know, because as far as, you know, in law school, you know, or even when you were trying to, you know, get that interview, it's really coming down to who you know. You know, somebody had to give you that referral. Somebody had to say, you know what, Aaron Brown, he's a good student, you know, because I don't know anybody who's a practitioner who won't, you know, ask around and, you know, take that insight, you know, because, you know, they're working with work product and stuff like that. So they want to know who's working on their stuff. But now as a practitioner, I really rely on what I know, twofold, you know, to get the work done and to, you know, just, you know, be effective as a practitioner. But, you know, coming up, I think getting the opportunity, achieving or obtaining the opportunity is really coming down to who you know. That's why I think it's imperative for law students to not sit idly by. I mean, and it's not even law students, any student. I mean, whether you're an engineer or you're a registered nurse trying to get a job, you know, it's imperative for you to get involved in those organizations, to be in those civic centers and, you know, raising your hand, speaking up and being seen, because that goes a long way. You know, they see you and hear you, you know, they're more likely or more inclined to meet with you.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely. I hope Mayor Alvin Brown is maybe nervous the election.
Oh, I hope he's tuning in, and if not, we'll send it to his office.
In the city of Jacksonville, because, you know, he may have somebody that's looking to see coming up soon. No, I'm just kidding. But you're an excellent speaker. You hit on very, very good points, and it's a testament to, you know, why people have trusted you to be their leader, especially in during school, undergraduate and graduate school as well, and continuing after school as well. Now, I guess I wanted to ask you a quick question about where you see yourself fitting into Jacksonville, you know, professionally. You know, any future, you know, desire to enter into a political realm?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's something that's been heavy on my heart, I mean, even since law school and beyond. So, yeah, I'm actually very interested in pursuing politics. I think my map, I think the way that it's going to lay out for me is to get involved in the local arena first. You know, let me get associated with the community, come back to where I was born and raised. So I'm going to look into pursuing, and I actually already have, I'm getting involved with city council and maybe seeing when that, you know, opportunity will avail itself. Excuse me. And then, you know, I think that my next goal will then be to go into the state senate in that arena. And then my future ambitions is to be in the United States Senate and then possibly pro temp. You know, I have big dreams, but I'm a very ambitious person. Growing up, my catchphrase was grind now, shine later. And it really stuck. You know, I knew that if you wanted something, you put your foot down and you did it until it was accomplished. And I don't think, coming from my background, that anybody can tell me that, you know, something is not possible. So, you know, my map will be the city council, and I'll be giving back to my community throughout the entire process. And then I'll pursue that state senate seat, and then, you know, wherever God lays me after that, you know, I'll just be blessed to have gotten that far.
Well, just let me know when you want to be getting paid. I'm 100% behind that.
absolutely.
you've made the rest of the incumbents aware and given them.
They're on full notice, Quay.
So they can't say they didn't see it coming when it happens at all. Now, I want you to speak a little bit more about the presentation and the speaking engagements that you have lined up with upcoming, we were discussing a little bit earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, we do this once or twice a month, and this is something that doesn't stop. You know, we're going into March now, and we'll be doing some more presentations, and this is something that I plan to be involved with. You know, either plugging myself and helping getting myself out there, or you know, referring another attorney to get there. You know, since I helped create it, I want it to continue to flourish. But I think the next thing I'm going to present on is some more Fourth Amendment rights stuff. I think that's imperative for the community to know what is an unreasonable search and seizure, what is legal as far as a warrantless search. And, you know, and you can tell when, you know, you present things to them of that nature, their eyes kind of get bigger because you know why? It's something that is, you know, important to their lives. It's relatable. And so I really enjoy presenting to them topics such as Fourth Amendment stuff, their due process rights, because, you know, those are maybe words they don't quite understand, but when you give them a hypothetical or a scenario, they understand, you know, and I think that it's really good. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I really didn't know that. You know, can you give me some more information on that? And it's when they say things like that, I mean, that makes your whole day. You know, we don't ask for any money when we do these presentations. We don't ask for any assistance. We just ask that they tell a friend. You know, and we just ask that they come out and actually, if you want more information, you can go to my website, aaronbrownlaw.com, and we also we put information about the next speaking and engagement, where it's going to be at, what time, location, and stuff like that. So, yeah, we really want the city of Jacksonville to come behind us. I mean, we want to, you know, expand, get to bigger venues, and do it multiple times through the week if we need to.
Right, right, absolutely. So you mean to say they cannot just illegally search my whip?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, you know better. Absolutely
right,
not.
I just want to clarify.
Not today.
they can't just throw me down with no probable cause on the ground.
And you know, Quay, you'd be surprised. I mean, honestly, they have this show of authority, the police officers, and you know, yeah, as a layperson, you don't know. You know, it's better to be cautious than to be wrong, so they don't know. So, you know, and I think that when you talk to them on subject matter like that and they have a trust and a belief in you, you know, they really, their eyes really glow. And that's the paycheck I like, when they are just really interested in the subject matter and they come up to you and they want to tell their friends and they're on their phone texting, telling them, hey, you got to get here. You know, that's what really makes it worth it at the end of the day.
Absolutely, no, absolutely right. It's something that the community, I think, you know, needs to be aware and have that knowledge, because that badge is quite threatening,
yeah.
and quite intimidating, you know, especially for people that have not always had good relationships with
absolutely.
People wearing badges, you know, and so I mean we see. You know, we see that in the news every day. I mean, if we look at Professor Henry Louis Gates, and you know what happened to him in front of his own house.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's not immune to anybody, and it doesn't matter. You know, kind of where you've reached in the social ladder. you know, if somebody wants to be in a bigot, they will be, and show their force. So it's very important what you're doing there in Jacksonville, and I hope that you continue to spread that that word and that message. You know, to that city over there. Now, you're a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity.
Yes, sir.
And got involved, I guess, during college and at UCF. What has that helped you to become or shown you in your membership with the fraternity?
Yeah, just joining that fraternity at such a young age, at around age 19. It really, really molded and nurtured my leadership potential at that age. You know, just getting thrown in the mix in an organization that big, and just being told you need to chair this event, you know, and you need to put together this community service event. And, you know, and soon you just be able to do it, second nature. It's just easy to do. And, you know, just being involved in that organization's really taught me a lot of life lessons, time management, how to dress, how to tie a tie. You know, you'd be surprised at how many individuals in college didn't know how to tie. I actually was the designated tie-tier for my my apartment complex for a short time there. So, you know, it was things like that that, you know, I didn't take lightly, and I really took upon myself and, you know, really learn how to get involved, learn how to lead, learn how to, you know, put on community service events. And, you know, to this day, those things and those skills that I've obtained, you know, stay with me right now.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. You did your job as a tie tire, I'm sure, very
yeah.
well.
You know, and my double Windsor is really, really nice now. So, and I put a lot of people on. So, yeah, I was grateful for that opportunity to perfect it at least.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I want to actually ask you. I guess you mentioned your mom, you know, kind of that strong, you know, rock or solid foundation for you. Who are some of your, role models, growing up and currently now?
Yeah, you know, unlike others, you know, I like Michael Jordan and I like things like that, but it was more my family. You know, aside from celebrities, it was more of my family members that I saw, you know, growing up in a single household for a little while, and then, you know, seeing my mother remarry, and, you know, it was more my family, just seeing the strength in them. I had a very, very determined uncle who was a colonel in the Army, you know, seeing him just being so reserved and so, you know, determined, and seeing that, and my mother, once again, just being, you know, coming from whatever she came from, and just being a philanthropist, and just, you know, being given back to the community every little bit she had, you know, and seeing people like my grandfather, who to this day is, you know, late 70s, and he still owns and runs his own construction business. You know, just seeing that strength, that determination, and knowing that that runs in my blood, you know, that was my motivation, and just knowing that, you know, I possess what they possess, so let me just manifest it. So, you know, unlike other people, I didn't have too many celebrity posters growing up. You know, I love sports. I'm very athletic. Had an opportunity to play at one of the elite high schools in Jacksonville. Got an opportunity to play a little bit at UCF. But it wasn't that wasn't what motivated me. It was more, you know, the individuals in my family who I saw, you know, who I knew, who I could reach out to and touch and say, hey, you know, how did you do it? You know, those were my icons that I looked up to.
Right. Well, the family unit is very essential and important, and I'm glad that you did make it a point for people to hear that, you know, those were your people that you looked up to, those were your role models, and those were your mentors. And there's nothing wrong with having mentors not in your family, but I think it's very important to understand that it starts at home, and those are the best mentors that you can have, because those are the ones that care about you the most and the ones you also interact with on a daily basis. So I'm glad that you did, bring that up and mention that. Now, our time is running out a little bit, but where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Are you still going to be practicing law? Are you still going to be active?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, just to sum it up, I think that I am an entrepreneur, so I do have a business that we're going to start running and putting together on the side, a PI service and a security service. So we have an office in Orlando. We're going to branch out here in Jacksonville soon. So, you know, that within the next year, I'll be, you know, become a business owner. So I'll be doing that. Politics is heavy on my heart. So, you know, whenever God really opens up that door, I'll pursue that, you know, vigorously. And then, you know, practicing law. This is what I'm doing right now. I like to start something and perfect the craft. So, you know, and until God, you know, really wants to open up other doors, I'll be pursuing law and running the business and, you know, reaching out to the community. I'm happy doing that right now. I think when you find something that makes you happy, you really got to stick with it. And so I'll be doing that until God opens up that political arena for me, and then I'll do that too.
Well, I'm sure you'll be well in Excel no matter what you choose. Aaron Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Each One Reach One show.
Thank you.
And have a great one.
Yes, sir.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Each One Reach One show as we sat down with Aaron Brown, former law clerk at the Florida Supreme Court and current associate with the law firm in Jacksonville. Join us next time as we sit down with another dynamic young individual.